Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, to the yo. Hey, this is Leah Keys from Leah Keys Real Talk Radio. Real talk. But tonight, man, we got a lot to talk about tonight. Got a little bit of boxing to talk about. Maybe some WWE stuff. Then we got UFC 298 this weekend. So, once again, we got a jam-packed show for you. But I'd be remiss if I didn't introduce my co-host. What's going on, Keys? Man, how you doing tonight?
What's up, bro? I'm good. Let's get it.
Yeah, man. So we two pay-per-views away from UFC 300, and I haven't seen anything about a main event. I think I'm getting worried, man. How you feel about that, that they haven't come out with a main event yet?
Yeah, I didn't really think that much of it in January. I felt like people were kind of stressing too much. I was like, all right, like, it's still 3 months. Like, they usually don't announce, you know. Usually you don't see the main event that far out. I mean, sometimes you do, but it's like, I was like, 3 months, it's okay. Like, you know, it'll get out there. And then now it's February. I'm like, okay, you know, we're only two away. Now it's 2 months away. It's like, whoever you have, you know, you want them to get a full fight camp. So you want to expect that they have two guys. They got to have a full fight camp. You know what I mean? So now we're kind of getting into the territory of, okay, the event is less than 2 months away now. I think it's either exactly 2 months or it's just under 2 months away. So it's like you kind of hope they get it figured out, because if not, you're talking about basically a short-notice main event, which I don't think anybody wants to see any short-notice fights for the main event. You know what I mean? We don't want – because that's what you know, that's kind of low quality. For me, I'm starting to worry is what I'm basically saying. And honestly, Bo, what I'm starting to think – And Kevin Ioli did say, the journalist, Kevin Ioli did say that, I don't know if he spoke with Dana White or he spoke with somebody, and Dana White apparently is saying that the UFC 300 main event will be announced at the post-fight press conference after the pay-per-view Sunday, you know, Saturday night, Sunday morning. So apparently Dana White said that. I hope that's true, because that would mean that he has something locked in and we're going to get the main event and, you know, we can get a full notice. You know, fighters can get a full fight camp and we can get, you know, a full quality fight. But what I'm starting to think happened, bro, and tell me whether or not you agree, is that I think they had a couple fights that they thought were going to play out. And I think they had, you know, a couple options there, and they were hoping to get, you know, I think they probably had a couple different plans fall through. You know, I think they probably had a main event, it fell through, then they were like, oh, well, if they can't do that, we could do this, then that fell through. You know, I think that probably happened a couple times now. So I'm thinking that they're running into a lot of problems with guys not being ready, or, you know, they want more time, or they can't get the contract done, whatever it might be. And or Ramadan, you know, a lot of fighters are, you know, they go, I don't know if it's around that time, it'll be Ramadan. You know, they'll be in Ramadan then. So a lot of your big fighters that you could possibly have will be, you know, they're not going to fight during Ramadan. So that's another thing that probably came up, you know, and put a wrench in it. So, yeah, I'm thinking that's what happened, bro. What do you think?
I'm thinking what you said, man. I think they have some fights lined up, and they can't get the money right. I think a lot of fighters know this is going to be a big-time event, especially with it being the main event. And I think a lot of fighters are wising up to the idea that, yo, this probably going to be the biggest card of the year. If you just look at the prelims, you can say this going to be the most stacked card of the year. And you're right, Ramadan starts March 10th, ends April 8th, and the UFC 300 is on April 13th. So you could count out your Islams, your Hamzats, probably your Bilal Muhammads. You probably can count them out. So, bro, I don't know which way they go, man. I don't know which way they go with this, bro. I think the only way they can go, Keys, is they might have to go with Aspinall, man. They might have to put – but is he a main event guy for UFC 300? You know what I'm saying? You want a fight that's going to be worthy of UFC 300 main event. So, and we know John ain't ready. I really don't know about Stipe. So, bro, man, I'm thinking this gonna be a rush put together main event, because I really think he wanted to make that announcement earlier this week when he said he had a big announcement to make, and then he was like, "We have some things fall apart." I think he was going to make the announcement earlier this week, and they just couldn't come up with a contract. But, Keys, what might happen is you might get Poirier and St. Denis move from 299 to 300 if they can't work something out. Would you be disappointed if that's the main event for UFC 300?
Yeah, I would definitely be disappointed. I mean, that's a big fight, and I mean, you can make a case, honestly, to say that's the best fight on 299. I definitely think you can make a case that's the best fight on there. But for UFC 300, though, not really. I mean, that's and it's just not. If you could get like Poirier, Holloway, or some, obviously Holloway already has a fight, but like, I think Poirier could be in a UFC 300 main event. But not against God of War, though. God of War is still, like, a new guy, and I don't think he can be. Poirier can. Poirier is UFC 300 main event level, I think. With the right opponent, all day. But Benoit Saint-Denis, God of War, he's too new. He's still a new guy. You know, you can't put him in that spot. So I don't think so. If it did happen, I wouldn't be surprised, because they're really tumbling and fumbling everything right now. I think that is what happened. And to respond to what you said, they really can't do Aspinall. Unless he's lying, Aspinall has been interviewed a bunch during the past couple of weeks, because a lot of people think that, you know, the eyes are turning towards him. You know, that seems to be what a lot of people think, and they can't do it. Aspinall said that, obviously, John Jones, and they asked John Jones, they called him. I think John Jones said Hunter Campbell called him, and basically more or less like begging him to main event. Like really, you know, encouraging him to be the main event. John said his body won't be ready. He wants to give it his all, which I respect it. So John's out of the picture. You can't do Aspinall and John Jones. You can't do Aspinall and Alex Pereira. You know, we're seeing that Pereira or Pereira won't be going to heavyweight anytime soon. That's what I heard. Aspinall said that. Aspinall also said they offered him Stipe for the interim heavyweight, and Aspinall accepted it, but then Stipe declined it and said he only wants to fight John Jones. So none of those are on the table. None of those fights are on the table. So that's – I don't even know you could get Aspinall a fight. And you can't do John Jones, and I don't really know. I don't really know what you can even do. The only fight that I think, and honestly, if you look at the picture that they released, I honestly, if you want my prediction right now, y'all, I think it's going to be DDP versus Adesanya in the main event. I think that's going to be the one, and I think there are many clues to point out that could be the fight, and then the B side of what I think will happen, the B side. The A side, I think it will be DDP versus Adesanya. DDP has been extremely quiet during all this talk. Adesanya has been extremely quiet, interestingly enough, during all this talk. That makes me think maybe they know, you know, maybe there's something already on the table. DDP will have had a good amount of time. I mean, he fight in January, 3 months. He's going to go back-to-back to do the fight, but, I mean, and he did take a lot of damage, but you still have 3 months. I mean, it's doable, especially for, you know, the payday that he'll likely get to do it, especially in these circumstances. they're probably offering anybody crazy money to save the card right now, especially guys like that. So I think DDP would take the fight. He's a dog. And Adesanya has posted a couple hints. He's posted a couple hints to suggest that, you know, maybe something's happening, you know, with him in the card. So I think that is going to be the fight. If you look at the picture that they released, Lee, have you seen that picture of the fighter walking to the cage with a yellow flag? It's like a blank, like, solid yellow flag over his back, and it says UFC 300 2 weeks away. Did you see that, Ed?
No, I didn't see that.
So I'm going to pull that up right now. I'm going to send it to your phone. And
okay.
Tell me this. This does not look like DDP from the back. Go ahead.
You don't think that's a quick turnaround, though? He fought in January and what was really a war, and then turn around and have him fight again in April?
It is a quick turnaround, but I also feel like it's been done before. You know, we've seen Holloway do that like 10 times. I'm just saying it can be done. It is a quick turnaround. He took a lot of damage, but especially a guy like him, I could see him doing it is what I'm saying.
I know what I would like to see happen, but I know it's not going to happen. I wish Jamal Hill was healthy, because I think you could make that the main event, Jamal Hill versus Alex Pereira. But Jamal Hill, you know, he got an Achilles, and an Achilles is at least 9 months, 9 to 12 months, bro. So we know it ain't going to be him. And then I'm looking at the light heavyweight division. It's like you got Alex Pereira. Bukovic don't have a fight. Ankalaev, I want to say he just fought. Prochaska and Rocket's going to fight. I just don't know, man. I really don't know which one. I know it's not going to be Leon Edwards, because we know he's not going to take no fight that's short notice. We already know that about him. You know, he's going to complain that I need more time, so we know that's not going to happen. What they do,
yo,
Usman versus
Duplessis? Look at that text message. Look at your text message. Look at the picture I just sent you.
Yeah, that's the same haircut.
Yeah, if you look at it, that does look like it. I don't think I've ever seen the back of his head, but obviously we've seen him at angles and we've seen his hair color. I mean, unless that's just an actor and they just had some random guy do it, or, you know, that, to me, that looks a lot like him.
Yeah, that looks like him from the back, because I'm looking at his picture on the UFC official website, and, you know, they have it on the front. But when you look at his haircut style, it's the same haircut. I don't know, man. Maybe. But it's definitely worrisome that they don't have a main event yet. But this week, man, we had some boxing happen. What was that, Thursday? Last week, Thursday. And you text me. I saw your tweet. I ain't going to say you text me. But you text me and told me Tim Fimo was fighting. And then I saw your tweet saying the fight was a stinker. So I finally got around to watching the fight. And I blame that fight on Ortiz, man. I don't blame the fight on Teofimo, bro. And I'm going to explain why. Ortiz's whole strategy was he was going to constantly be moving. And with him constantly being moving, he didn't want to be a stationary target. So that made basically Timo had to become the chaser, which means he's the guy that he's going to be the one that trying to initiate the action. I hated that for Ortiz because it made it look like he was running the entire time. And fights like that, when you're going for a championship, you can't employ that strategy, bro. You got to come in there with the mindset of mixing it up and giving the champion everything that you got in your gas tank. And when I was sitting there and I was like, I know why he's doing it, because his talent level ain't as good as Teofimo's, but, man, it was so hard to watch, bro. And I was like, oh, man, this is And then at the end, I'm watching the post-fight show, and Timothy Bradley is saying Ortiz won the fight. I'm like, bro, what fight were you watching? And he was like, well, you know, Ortiz did what he was supposed to do. He came in there, employed his game plan, and, you know, he was landing his 1-2, get out of there. But every time Teofimo caught up to him, he was hurting him. It was like, boom, boom, boom. And you'll see Ortiz, like, react. And I was like, man, I don't get it. Yeah, man, it was definitely a hard fight to watch, man. But Keyshawn, that was in the co-man event, he did what you're supposed to do. He went in there and got rid of a lesser opponent. I think he's from basically my hometown. He went in there, got the guy up out of there, and then he talked a little bit of trash, calling out T.O. But I think Keyshawn's a little too small. Keyshawn, you might want to fight like Frank Martin, maybe Shakur or somebody like that. You don't want to jump under the 140, man. You don't want to mess with them beasts yet. So what was your thoughts on Teofimo, man?
Honestly, I mean, overall, I didn't see the fight. I was just going off of what people were telling me, and I just paid attention to the updates, and I was reading it, and I was just like, okay, well, and coming from someone who didn't see it, so I can't say what I think this guy won. I'm not going to give that because it's not fair for me to say, but just based off what people were saying, there was a mix of it. You know, there was some people saying robbery, so saying the wrong guy won, Teofimo lost the fight. I did see a good amount of that. And then you didn't really see a lot of, like, Teofimo did what he was supposed to do you saw like some praise for certain things he was doing, but you didn't really see anybody saying like, oh, you know, Teofimo's the champ for a reason. You don't really see like any like good praise you want to see when a guy defends his belt. So it was a little weird. But overall, I guess this is what I would say. When I read the stats and I saw that it was like, I think the punches was like 80 to 76 or something like that. You know, after 12 rounds, I think they said it was 80 to 26. 76. I'm sorry. 80 to 26 would be wild, right? 80 to 76 was the punches. I think Teofimo was 76 landed. Ortiz was 80. And I just think it's kind of crazy that they compare these guys to Devin Haney. I think that would be my biggest takeaway. Like, you don't hear anybody even talking about how, and honestly, I muted boxing. I muted just the boxing community is very like aggressive, you know, like boxing fans are kind of wild. I mean, we have that with UFC as well, but like, I don't know, man, you don't really see guys like going for the throat, you know, in the MMA community, like the way with boxing, like you see guys going way too hard on it, like super critical, just like super stressed, like disrespectful, you know, of fighters. And just like every time a guy wins, like you see boxing fans like instantly trying to like, you know, bring it down a couple notches. Like it's really aggressive, man. Boxing community is really, it's too much for a guy like me. I can't be involving myself with that. So I muted a lot of it, but I personally think it's kind of crazy that you don't see the community even talking about the fact that Devin Haney just pitched a 12-0 shutout. You know, they had it 120 to 107. That's 12, 10, 9 rounds and, you know, 11, 10, 9 rounds and 1, 10, 8 round. Absolutely, you know, masterclass coming forward too, not jumping around and, you know, fighting defensive. He was coming forward all 12 rounds. That fight I did watch the whole thing. And that was one of the, I can easily say that was, like, how people talk about McGregor versus Alvarez, like, say, like, a dominant, like, master performance, 10 out of 10, like, that was, is right there with those kinds of fights. Like, damn, like, that's something I'll never forget watching that, you know, because it's just like, this guy put on a clinic in there versus another really tough guy. To me, it's not like Regis Progress is a bum, you know. He's a good fighter, and you just don't see the box community even talking about that. All you really see them saying is that they downplay Devin Haney, you know. They always, like, he's a guy they always, like, he can have a perfect performance like that, and there was still people saying, you know, trying to downplay it and say, oh, well, you know, Regis was low competition, and, you know, like, he wasn't on the same level, and it was a mismatch. And it's like, bro, if he lost, what would y'all have been saying? You know what I mean? Like, it's just it, – and so my point is, I say that to say this, is that I just find it crazy that they compare these other guys to Devin Haney, and then they try to say that it's like, oh, well, he's not on this guy's level. It's like, look at the performances these dudes are putting on. When's Devin Haney putting on a performance like that? You know what I mean? I've watched – his last couple of fights, and I don't see him putting on performances like that. Every fight he puts on is a fun fight. Even if he's dominating the fight, it's still an enjoyable fight to watch. You know, he's in, and he comes forward. Each time I've been watching him, he comes forward, and you don't see him putting on, you know, these, like, basically no-show performances, you know, as the champion. It's like, who's the champion in this fight, you know? I never say that when I watch him fight. I don't always know, okay, Devin Haney won that fight, you know, and he was in there the whole time, you know, he was coming forward the whole time. So it's just, when I see those numbers, like I said, I didn't watch the fight, so I can't say who won or who didn't, but just hearing what people have said, seeing the numbers, and just looking at it that way, it's like, I just can't, how they compare these dudes to him, I don't, you know what I mean, I don't understand it. Like, I feel like Devin Haney will beat Teofimo pretty easily. I think he'll beat Ryan Garcia pretty easily, and that fight's actually booked. So we're going to be talking about that on this show in the near future. In the very near future, we're going to be talking about that. I think he's good. I think he'll beat both of those guys pretty easily. So, and we'll revisit this when it happens.
Yeah, they did announce Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia will be fighting. I don't know the dates, but yeah, they signed that fight. I don't know what it is, man. That dude Ryan Garcia, boy, he get the big fights, but he never can win them. But hey, more power to him, dog. Actually, Haney and Garcia fighting in April 20th in Las Vegas. Yeah, man, we'll definitely be talking to that down the road. I think if Haney wins that fight, I think it sets up a fight between him and Tank, hopefully. But we shall see. But, boxing is something, bro. Boxing is something. It's just, if you're a fan of boxing, man, it does stress you out. The way the politics play such a major role in the fight making. Whereas as UFC fans, we never have to worry about that, bro. Dana White and his fight makers get together, make the fights, call the fighters, and normally the guys accept the fights. They might, only thing that's normally hold up fights in the UFC is the money. But outside of that, the UFC normally make the fights happen, bro. Real quick, we'll just talk about this real quick. WWE, man, WrestleMania coming up. I don't know whether or not you saw it last week. The Rock showed up. They was going to go in the direction of The Rock versus Roman Reigns. And then the fans spoke out. They didn't want The Rock to go against Roman Reigns. And now it's Cody going against Roman Reigns. And they talking about maybe The Rock versus Triple H, bro. Wrestling is on fire right now. I don't understand, you know, people be complaining, but wrestling and Sasha Banks is signing with AEW. So she's going to AEW, and I want to say she's going to make her debut where Keys at in Boston on AEW when they come to Boston. So, hey, it's a man, wrestling is on fire right now. I know a lot of people, you know, yeah, wrestling, the outcome is predicted, but is you have to get there. And the storytelling is really good of wrestling right now. But, man, The Rock had everybody talking last week, and that's a good thing, man, because he's one of the biggest entertainers in the world, and it brought so many eyes to WWE. It was so funny. WWE had one of the UFC-style press conferences in Las Vegas last week, bro.
Yeah, so the thing is this, is that you're saying, did I see it? Of course I saw it. But I also watched the Royal Rumble, and I know that Cody Rhodes won the Royal Rumble. So I was completely a curveball. When Cody Rhodes came out and said, you know, I have conversations with somebody, and, you know, I want to face you, but not at WrestleMania, I was like, yo, how much did they pay him to say that? You know what I'm saying? He didn't want to say that. What the hell was that? You know what I think happened, right? I think they figured out, you know, how to make that deal happen or whatever, and The Rock came into the picture, whatever he did, right? And they're like, okay, now we have this on the table, so we're going to try to act like Cody doesn't want the match at WrestleMania. We're going to try to slide this into the picture. Let's see how the fans react to it. They're going to love it, right? And then they put it out there, and they got so much hate. If you watch any of it, you see all the boos. If you look at the Instagram comments, everything that The Rock posts, even if it's unrelated to wrestling, you see people in the comments saying, we want Cody. You ruined WrestleMania. If you really look at the comments, it's really true. Even tonight, if he had a post tonight, I guarantee you, if I go to that post right now, there's people in the comments saying, we want Cody. And if you listen to the reaction when The Rock came out, even at the press conference that they just had a couple of days ago, there was tons of boos. Yeah, there's people that want to see the match. You know, I saw a guy on TikTok saying that, you know, that's the biggest wrestling match in history, Roman Reigns versus The Rock. So, yes, I do think there is a consensus of people that do like that match, but I do think that the majority want. And if you go off tradition, the winner of the Royal Rumble, the belt at WrestleMania, you don't get to hijack the match just because of The Rock and screw Cody out of his chance and then act like he didn't even want it. It's like, that's not, you know what I mean? It's like, how many millions did you pay Cody to say that stupid shit, you know what I mean? And then he comes out and obviously he has to revert back. You know, they see how the fans kick back and they say, oh, we hate that idea. So now they're trying to – now, honestly, I think the WWE is scrambling right now too. I think they're scrambling just like the UFC with 300 because I think they thought that oh, we can hijack this main event and the fans will love it. This is a huge match, right? You know, The Rock has done, you know, destroying, you know, movie franchises. You know what I mean? He's done destroying, you know, a new movie series. You know, he already destroyed Fast and Furious. Then he went and destroyed the DC universe. So he's taking a break from doing that, and now he wants to come destroy the WWE universe and try to hijack the WrestleMania main event. So this is the truth of it. And the numbers show that, you know what I mean? And, hey, you know, I love The Rock to an extent, but, you know, I totally get what Seth Rollins was saying because if you skip forward to the most recent segment, at least from what I watched on YouTube, you see Cody Rhodes basically calling out The Rock on Raw, which I think was Monday, and then Seth Rollins comes out, and Seth Rollins did that whole speech to Cody, and Seth Rollins is my guy, man. That might be my favorite guy right now to watch with wrestling. Like, Seth Rollins is that dude, you know what I mean? And now I'm not going to say promo. I feel like that sounds so weird when I say promo. That whole segment was so good. That, like, it gave me chills. You know what I mean? I said this to my brother. He was like, yo, I had chills watching that. I'm like, yo, I feel you. Because that was that real shit. That was that real talk, man. Seth Rollins, he's probably a fan of the show because he knows, you know, he's about real talk, and that's what that was, and I'm so proud of that because, you know, a lot of times in wrestling, you see a fighter start to give a speech like that, and then they turn it, make it about them and try to attack somebody, or he didn't do that. He actually followed through all the way, and he was like, what is your plan to beat him? You're going against The Rock, too. You know, they're not going to give you a fair shake in the match. You know they're not going to give you a fair shake in the match. They didn't give you a fair shake last year. It's even worse this time. The Rock is going to be, you know, he's going to be part of it. And those two are teaming up together, you know, probably the two most arrogant guys out there. It's like, you need help. So, oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Here we go, baby. Here we go. It's, oh, man. We're going now, bro. We're going.
Yeah, man. It's going to be WWE creative, man. They're going to have to they got a couple months to get people invested in Cody and Roman, whoever Seth going to face, maybe developing a Rock storyline in there. So they got a couple months to get everybody on board. But, you know, man, it's just funny how, you know, the guy from Busted Open, Dave LaGreca, he the one that started the We Want Cody hashtag because he's a big Cody fan, and he was complaining that The Rock had came in and hijacked Cody's spot and all this and all that, and he the one that came up with the We Want Cody hashtag, and, you know, man, it is what it is. But the thing is, the WWE let Roman break the record for being the guy that held the belt for the longest. If he loses to Cody, he doesn't break that record. So that's another story that has a play out. But look, man, we got UFC 298 this weekend. Oh, man. Man, this card is very, very interesting, bro. It's a very, very interesting card. You know, with the main event being Volkanovski taking on Ilya Topuria, for the, what, the lightweight, is it the lightweight title? I think it's the lightweight title.
Is what? What's the question?
Yeah, what belt does, Volkanovski have, the lightweight title, right?
He's a featherweight title.
So, yeah, man, looking at the card, there's definitely a lot of good fights on this card. This card is actually it's a nice little card, especially the main card. You have a lot of ranked guys going up against each other. You got Volkanovski, Topuria, then you got Robert Whittaker taking on Paulo Costa, then you got Jeff Neal taking on Ian Garry, Morad Divisvili taking on Harry Cejudo. And then what I think might be the fight of the night, man, Anthony Hernandez taking on Roman Kopylov. And then the prelims main event is our girl Mackenzie Dern taking on Amanda Lemos. This card is really, really nice. What's the one fight you got your eyes on, bro?
I'm pulling this card up now. What'd you say? You think Anthony Hernandez and Roman Kopylov, that could be the fight of the night?
Yeah, I think that could be the fight of the night because they're two evenly matched guys.
Yeah. So the fight I have my eye on probably – I mean, I'm definitely have my eye on Renya Nakamura. I don't know, you know, Renya Nakamura. I just want to tell y'all one thing. UFC is got to get into the prelims, man. Y'all got to get into the prelims. If you don't watch the prelims, man, please start watching the prelims because that's where the best action is happening. That's where all these things are happening. When I come on the show now, like in 2023, I spent the most time watching prelims of my whole career watching UFC since 2016. That was the most time I've spent watching prelims was in 2023. I think I watched every single card in 2023 of UFC. And I watched them from beginning to end, from the early prelims, almost every single card. And I could tell you for a fact, like guys like this, Roman Kopylov, if you watch the prelims, you know exactly who he is. You know what I mean? You know he's a beast. If you don't watch the prelims, you're probably going to scratch in your head like, man, Lee said that Anthony Hernandez versus Roman Kopylov could be fight of the night. Who the hell is he saying? What? Who are these guys, right? You're probably saying that. Like, why is he saying fight of the night? I don't even know these dudes if you don't watch the prelims. But if you watch the prelims, you know that these two dudes are savages and this is a great fight. And then you would totally understand. You'd say, yeah, Lee, that could be the fight of the night. I think so. You know what I mean? I think he's right on that. You know, the same thing for many other guys. I mean, that's a great example on this. But let me see who else is on the prelims. Rinya Nakamura, that's another guy. I mean, he's another beast. He went 2-0 on road to UFC, and then now he's 2-0 in the UFC. So technically, I mean, if you don't count road to UFC, he's 2-0. But really, he has four UFCs, 4-0, and he's a beast. So you would know that if you watch prelims. But if you don't watch prelims, you're probably like, man, who the hell is Rinya Nakamura? Who's Keys talking about? He's got his eye on. You know what I mean? So that's one of those things, you know. And overall, yeah, I think the fighter I have my eye on, Rinya Nakamura, for sure. And then the fight that I have my eye on overall, I love this main card, though. And don't get me wrong, the main card's good, too. I like to watch the whole card. I'm just saying. But, yeah, this main card specifically, this is excellent. This is excellent. I think Volkanovski and Topuria is my fight, man. I can't wait to watch that, bro. I've been waiting. I've been anticipating this one for months, man. That's my fight that I got my eye on overall because this is the only time I'll probably ever see Volkanovski at the betting odds that he's at right now. I think he's like -125, which is insane for him. That's crazy. That is so crazy to have Volkanovski at that line. The only other time you could get Volkanovski at something even close to that would be against Islam, but that's when he's in a different division, so you can understand it. He's fighting, you know, one of the best guys in the world, so it's understandable, but that's a super fight. When you're playing and he's at featherweight, to get him at odds like that, anybody he fights at featherweight, Volkanovski is probably going to be anywhere from -250 and upwards. He's not going to go much lower than that against anybody at featherweight because he's that dude. You know, he's undefeated at featherweight, makes these guys look crazy, you know. So, but this fight, they pretty much have it at almost a pick 'em. Damn, Volk might even end up being plus money. He might end up being the underdog, fight underdog by Saturday. I could see it. I mean, I've seen a lot of Ilya Topuria love out there. There's a lot of people that think he's gonna be the new champion. So, yeah, that's my fight, man. This is crazy. They think this one, the odds think this one is a nail biter.
I don't know, man. I think it has to do with the way he lost to Islam, but I don't think people are taking into consideration that he took the fight on 10 days notice either. So I think that's why it's basically probably going to be a pick-em fight by Friday. Because I know a lot of people, you know, probably are pulling for Topuria. But the fighter I got my eye on is Robert Whittaker, man. Bobby Knuckles. This is a big fight for him, man. You know, at one point in time, it was like the only guy he couldn't beat was Israel Adesanya. And then he turned around to get KO'd by Duplessis. So, you know, basically in his fight, he a -260 and Paulo Costa is a +210. So this is a big fight for Whittaker, bro. I think if he loses this fight, I think his next move is 205, bro, because I don't think he want to be relegated to gatekeeper. But the fight I have my eye on is Mirab Dvalishvili versus Henry Cejudo. The reason I say that is because I think these two guys basically are the same guy. And Mirab has been out almost a year. He's coming back and fighting probably one of the best fighters in UFC history, man. One of the most rounded fighters in UFC history. And he's coming back to fight this guy after being out the octagon for a year. I think it's going to be a tough fight, but I'm definitely going to have my eye on this fight, bro. But let's talk about it, man. Let's talk about it. Let's see where we at. Let's see where we at. Let's see where we at time-wise. I don't know why I don't have this up. Yeah, we got about 20 minutes. So, yeah, man, let's jump into our predictions, man. Let's start with the main event for the prelims, man. I think me and you both like these ladies. We got Amanda Lemos, minus 130, taking on Mackenzie Dern, plus 110. I want to say Lemos she lost to Zane Wally, but hey, who doesn't lose to Zane Wally? You know what I'm saying? So, who you got, man?
I gotta go Lemos, man. I want to pick Mackenzie Dern so bad, but I just can't, man. And I'm pretty sure I picked her last, like, one or two fights. I definitely picked her last fight. I want to say I picked her the fight before that as well. But, yeah, after the way she looked versus Andrade, I mean, I don't know what I was looking at in that fight. That was crazy. I mean, Mackenzie Dern should have destroyed Andrade, man. That's just bad. Like, to lose to Andrade, she made Andrade look like she was, like, still had it. And, like, Andrade does not still have it. You know what I'm saying? She does not still have it at all. At all. Andrade is done. She's done. And people might say, oh, well, Andrade's losses are just to the best in the division. Yeah, but she had, like, five losses. You know what I mean? You're talking, like, five losses in a row. After a while, it counts for something. Yeah, you might lose to the champion. Okay, we can get a pass there. But then you lose to this one. This one knocks you out. This one submits you. This one dominates you on the mat. It counts, man. And she goes on this big losing streak, right? Andrade doesn't have anything. If she can't take you out with her power, she has nothing else. And that's pretty much always been the case, but she's been able to get by with that, you know, with who she fought. And then I feel like as she started to decline a little bit, I feel like she was running into fighters that are on the incline, you know. Like Yan Zhaonan. She fought Yan Zhaonan, who was on the incline. And Andrade's on the decline. Yan Zhaonan knocked her clean, you know, she knocked her clean out, smoked her. You know what I mean? So that's just the way that is. And, but I got to go with Lemos, though, because what I saw Dern not able, she looked so lost against Andrade. And if that's how that is, I mean, Lemos is like a fresher version of Andrade, honestly. I mean, how much different is Amanda Lemos than Andrade if you really look at it, bro? How much different are those two fighters? I mean, Lemos pretty much does the same thing. She's just, I want to say they're close in age, but I don't know. Is Lemos like a little bit younger than her? She at least appears to be a little bit younger than her, and she's faster than Andrade, if you ask me. I think she's a good amount faster. And same kind of power, but again, I think Lemos is more of a fighter that's on the incline. She lost to Zhang Weili, but who doesn't lose? Zhang Weili is phenomenal. But I got to go Lemos. I think Lemos probably stops Mackenzie Dern. And I hate seeing that, man. I don't want to see Mackenzie Dern fight no more, man. I don't want to see her fight no more, bro. I really don't. Like, it bothers me that we have to, like, watch her fight. It really does. They might try to cancel me for saying that, bro, but I don't care, man. I'm sick of seeing this, bro. I'm so sick of it. Like, Michelle Waterson, you know how much it hurt my feelings when Michelle Waterson fought Marina Rodriguez, and then Michelle Waterson got beat up so bad by Marina that she went to the commentary booth or wherever it was after. Her face is so beat up. She looks so hurt, bro. She looked like a zombie. You know what I mean? And she was crying, bro. It's like you got beat so bad. Like, she's fucking, obviously your feelings are hurt. She's crying. And then, you know, she's probably crying even more so because her kids were there, you know. Her kids are watching her fight, and they, you know, she just watched her mom get beat up so bad, and now she's crying. I'm like, yo, this is terrible, bro. This is terrible. I'm sick of watching the fight, man. It's hurting my feelings. You know what I mean? And that's the reason. I say it because I care, not because I say they shouldn't be allowed. I'm not saying that, but it hurts me to have to see it. You know, I don't like seeing them getting beat up, man. So, yeah, but I do think Dern will lose. I think Lemos got finished.
I think Mackenzie Dern, the only chance she got in this fight, is she has to go back to her earlier days where she dominated people on the mat. she trying to now, she trying to do this Ronda Rousey thing where she trying to show people that she can strike. You can't strike. Your striking is definitely below average because her fight against Jessica Andrade, Jessica was just walking her down, and Mackenzie Dern was throwing punches at her like two girls fighting in a schoolyard. And I was like, come on, Mackenzie, you got to be better than that. The only thing Mackenzie really got going for her, Keys, is she's alternated losses and wins. She got a loss, then a win, a loss, then a win, then a loss. So basically, according to what she's been doing, she's supposed to win this fight. Man, I don't think I could pick her to beat Lemos, man. I think Lemos is too good. I think Lemos just had a bad outing, you know, her last fight. But I'm going to go with the upset, man. I'm picking Mackenzie Dern, man. I think she's going to go back to her old ways of dominating people on the ground. And I'm going to say she's going to submit Amanda Lemos, man. I'm not comfortable in this pick, but I'm going to embark a little bit of faith in Mackenzie that we see the old her come back. But I think if she get beat up real bad in the stand-up again, Keys, I'm kind of with you. She may want to reevaluate, you know, the trajectory of her career. And she does have a kid. So, you know, if she get beat up really bad, she might want to definitely, you know, explore either retiring, you know, or stepping away for a while, you know. But I'm going to pick her with the upset, man. I ain't too confident, but I'm rolling with it. All right, man. First card on the main card, we got Anthony Hernandez taking on Roman Kopylov. Hernandez minus 250, Kopylov plus 205. Both fighters on a four fight win streak. Who you got, bro?
Underdog, baby. Kopylov all day. Just short notice. He's a dog. He's a dog. Kopylov gets him, man. Finish for Kopylov. That'll be five KOs in a row. I'm going Kopylov by KO.
Man, these guys are so evenly matched, man. Reach 75 inches. Age 2 years apart with Hernandez being 30, Kopylov 32. Significant strikes for 4.33, Kopylov 4.72. The biggest difference in the stats, come on, takedown average and significant strikes accuracy. That's where Hernandez has him significantly. 6.79 takedown average to 0.47 and almost 67% significant strike accuracy to 55%. Oh, man, this is a tough fight to pick, man. But I'm going to go with Anthony Hernandez, man. I think Hernandez being a BJJ guy, I think he has more wins of winning this fight. And I don't know about Kopylov's takedown defense. That being said, I think Hernandez will fight a smart fight. He won't get in too many stand-up exchanges, and he'll be able to take my man Kopylov down. I'm going with Hernandez with the key special cousin. I'm going with Anthony Hernandez with a third-round submission, man. I think he get him up out of there via submission. All right. Whew, here goes another tough fight to pick, man. We got Mirab Divasvili returning to the Octagon in almost a year, taking on Triple C, Henry Cejudo, minus 225 for Divasvili, plus 185 for Henry Cejudo. Who you got, Keith?
I got Mirab, man. I got Mirab, bro. I think the only reason, you know, people just hate Mirab, they hate Aljo. They like to, you know, talk up the opponent just because everybody was talking up Peter Yan before he fought him, too. I remember that. So it is what it is, man. Everybody was talking up Cejudo when he was going to fight Aljo. And then they tried to say that he won the fight. And Cejudo did not win the fight. I'm somebody who's going to tell you how it is. It's going to hurt your feelings, but I'm going to tell you what really how it was. Cejudo didn't even win a round in that fight. It was 50-45, 50-46 at best. That was the last time we saw him. I'm not saying your whole career is based on your last performance. That's not true. I mean, you could be better. Mackenzie Dern might even come in better. Who knows? She might take Lemos down instantly and submit her in the first round. We really don't know. It's not all based on your last performance, but it is relevant. You know what I mean? And I think if Merab was the underdog, people would be saying he was the underdog lock of the week. You know, they would be hyping up Merab if he was the underdog. But since he's a favorite, people are trying to act like, oh, Cejudo is good at the underdog. He is. You guys are stuck in the past a little bit, to be honest. I think the Cejudo backers are a little bit stuck in the past. Like, you're thinking about Cejudo from 2018, 2019. When's the last time you've seen him look great? Like, was that like 5 years ago? Like, when was that? Like, I don't recall the last time he looked great. Maybe versus Cruz? Like, and that was Cruz coming off the couch like 3-4 years or something. Off the couch. So, what are we doing here, bro? Cut it out. Merab beat Cejudo. And Cejudo said he's going to retire if he loses, man. So, that's my prediction. I see Merab beating him and Cejudo retiring.
I think the last time he looked good, really, is probably against Marlon Moraes. But Moraes is on a decline. I mean, I don't think he was on a – I think we started to see cracks in Moraes' game when he fought Henry Cejudo. But, man, I just think Merab is a better version of Henry Cejudo right now. Both guys can both wrestle, and I think whoever can win the stand-up is going to win this fight. But back to something you said, I think a lot of people hate on Merab because he won't fight Aljamain Sterling. The man corners Aljo for certain fights. Aljo corners him for certain fights. Y'all can't be mad that they won't fight each other. Aljo has moved up in weight to get out of Merab's way so he can contend for the bantamweight title. So stop being mad at them guys, man. There's plenty of guys in the UFC that won't fight their trainer partner. So let that go. But I'm going to take Merab, man, in this fight. I think it's going to be a close fight because I think it's going to take probably Merab probably a round, maybe a round and a half to get it back going. So, I'm going to take Merab, and I'm going to say he won a split decision, man. Cause I think some judges probably still got love for Cejudo. But I think Merab wins this fight. I think his striking is going to be better. But the only way Cejudo can win this fight, he needs to come out fast. He needs to come out fast, exploit possible ring rust in a Divas Vili game, and keep the pressure on. But, yeah, man, I'm going with Merab Divas Vili split decision. Next up, we got number 8, Jeff Neal, taking on number 10 ranked Ian Garry. Garry coming off one of the most dominant performances in UFC history against Neil Magny. We have Ian Garry -240, Jeff Neal +195. I'll go first on this, and I'll make it simple, Keys. I think Neal is a good striker. But one thing about Neal, his cardio always comes into play in his fights. And I don't think he fights well from his back. I look for Ian Garry to basically use his striking to frustrate Neal, taking him down. And I don't think Neal can handle Ian Garrett's pressure. I got Ian Garry winning via second round TKO. How do you see it going, bro?
You got Garry second round TKO?
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Garry wins the fight as well. I think this is another one where the whole main card kind of has me in this, like, confusion of like, wow, these are like two good fighters, you know. Like Murad and Cejudo has that feeling as well. Volcano and Teporia has that feeling as well. It's like the whole main, Hernandez and Kopolov, same thing. It's like each of them are, you know, competitive fighters.
Evenly matched, yeah.
Yeah, all of them have that where it's competitive fight on paper. But overall, I think there is a better guy in every matchup, and I do think we're going to see that. Same thing with Whitaker and Costa. It's like, okay, competitive fight on paper, but I think Whitaker's way better. You know, I'm going to tell you how I think he wins after this. But it's, yeah, I'm going, yeah, Ian Garry. I think Ian Garry wins. I don't think he loses to Jeff Neal. You know, undefeated. I just don't see him losing the O to Jeff Neal. Jeff Neal, I feel like Jeff Neal can beat him, but I just think he won't beat him. You know what I mean? I think Ian Garry, Ian Garry's getting a matchup with the guy that does what he does, you know. I think, if anything, Neil Magny, you know, could have been the guy to beat Ian Garry, but I just think Ian Garry kept the fight at distance. He kept Neil Magny off of him, you know. He used his kicks, a lot of kicks, as we saw, and he just kind of beat up Magny from distance pretty much. He just didn't really let him get anything going at all in one decision. I think, if anything, Neil Magny would more likely be the guy to beat Ian Garry than Jeff Neal. And some people might call me crazy for that. I don't think that's crazy. Neil Magny is the sleeper fighter, you know what I mean? And the way he can work in the clinch, the way he can work, you know, on the mat, when Neil Magny can get comfortable and do what he does, he can win the fight. And look, we just saw him come back against Mike Mallett. He just fought Mike Mallett. Everybody thought, oh, Mike Mallett, you know, Canadian fighter on the rise, fighting in Canada. He finishes Mike Mallett, you know. It's like, that's what Neil Magny does, you know. Jeff Neal doesn't do that. Jeff Neal does what he does, which is good, but it's not going to be enough to beat Ian Garry. So, yeah, I got Ian Garry by decision. I think they're going to go to decision. I think Ian Garry wins by unanimous decision.
Man. Well, we both got Ian Garry winning. Next up, we got Robert Whitaker, minus 260, taking on Paulo Costa, plus 210. I think this fight, more to me, people might say it's close on paper, but I feel like this fight is a lopsided fight. I think Whitaker is a better fighter than Paulo Costa, but that might be because I really don't care for Paulo Costa too much. Go ahead and kick us off, bro. Who you got winning this fight?
I got Robert Whitaker winning this fight. This is another one where it's like people might try to overthink it. And, oh, Costa's the underdog. He's a good underdog. Costa sucks, all right? This guy, in his last 10 fights, mostly has canceled bouts and losses. The only win his last win was against Luke Rockhold, okay, the ghost of Luke Rockhold. And you know what's funny? He couldn't even finish Luke Rockhold. He made Luke Rockhold look like he was bouncing back. He made Luke Rockhold look like he was making a comeback, bro. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here? That gets to what we're doing here in caps. All caps. Is that not true? He made Luke Rockhold look like he could make a comeback in the UFC. Did he not?
Yeah, Luke Rockhold was actually taunting him for a minute.
Yeah, like, that was sad. It's like, yo, Costa, they gave you a fight that you should have smashed him, bro. He is a very chinny guy. Jan Blachowicz dispatched him very quickly, you know. A few people have dispatched him pretty quickly. And he made it look like Luke Rockhold was about to make a comeback in the UFC. People were talking about it. They wanted to see him keep going, even though I think that was the last fight in his contract, and he ended up going another direction. But overall, Costa, no way. I got Robert Whitaker, unanimous decision. I think Robert Whitaker is – I saw a guy on the timeline saying that he thinks we're about to see the best Robert Whitaker we've ever seen. And honestly, I agree with that. And we've seen some really good Robert Whitakers. I agree with that. I think he's about to put on a clinic. I think we're going to see something kind of similar to what we saw versus Jerry Cannonier. And I thought Whitaker looked great in that fight. But I think it's going to be better than that one. I think, you know, coming off a loss where a lot of people felt like he could beat DDP, I still think he could beat him. But he's going to bounce back. This is going to be a bounce back from him. He's not going to lose two in a row. So Rob Whitaker, unanimous decision, in an excellent performance.
Yeah, I think Whitaker wins this fight too, man. And plus, I think Whitaker needs this fight. Definitely to stay in the title picture. And I don't think he wants to become a middleweight gatekeeper. I think if he loses this fight, he becomes a gatekeeper. Or he might be forced to move up to 205. So I really think Paulo Costa is very overrated. I don't think he can fight off his back foot. I think he has to be the guy that's coming forward, initiating the fight to basically, you know, be to initiate his game plan. But I think Whitaker uses his cardio, his footwork, and a lot of activity to keep Costa on his back foot. I see Whitaker overwhelming him. But Whitaker better keep his stay on his P's and Q's of the defense because Costa can knock you out. But I think Robert Whitaker wins this fight. I'm going to say he wins the fight by split decision, man. Although I really want to go a unanimous decision, you just don't know with UFC judging. So I'm going to say Robert Whitaker wins by split decision. And what should be a good performance, man? I think he really needs a good performance, bro. Next up, we got the main event. We got Alexander Volkanovski taking on Ilya Topuria. Volkanovski is a minus 130. Topuria is a plus 110, I think. Go ahead, Keys. What you say about this fight, bro?
Man, you look at Volkanovski Topuria?
Uh-huh.
And I asked you real quick, did you have Murad? My bad. I'm trying to – y'all know
yeah,
me. I try to get tweets off from my account during the show. I was just trying to get
yeah,
that off
Murad.
For y'all so in case you didn't see it. You can see our picks for the main card.
I have Murad by split decision.
Okay, cool. All right, so, yeah, main event. This is another one where I think people are overthinking it. And I think they're basing it, like you said, off the fact that he took Islam on 10 days' notice and he got KO'd. Volkanovski also opened up about depression. He didn't word for word say depression, but I mean, if you listen to what he said, that's what he was talking about. And he was struggling, and he said he took that fight to give himself something to work on, you know, and that's a really relevant thing. I want to say I touched on this last week is that, you know, I'm a person that deals with depression, you know, and I totally get that. It's like, we do need something to work on. It's like you got to put your mind to something. Even people that don't struggle with mental health, they got to put their mind to something. That's just how it is. It's like your brain wants something to work on, you know. And when you don't give your brain something to work on and you're not relaxing, like truly relaxing and like watching a movie or something, your brain, you get anxiety. You know, to me, that's what happens. It's like your brain is like, give me something to do. And when you're not doing enough or you're just kind of drifting and, you know, you get anxiety, you get anxious, you know, that's where that comes from. But depression too, you know, he said he needed something to work on to help him get out of, you know, basically sound like he was in a rut. He was like, I need something to grind on and to help help me from this situation that I'm in. And that's when he took the fight. And then he said later that he was drinking every day, which that makes even, you know, that makes even more sense. It's like, okay, you know, he's depressed. Now he's been drinking a lot. So now he feels like shit times two. You know, he feels even worse because he's been drinking because he was depressed. Now he takes the fight to try to knock off both of those things, you know. But then while he knocks off both of those things, he's going in on 10 days notice first, you know, maybe the best guy in the world. He gets KO'd. It happens. You know, I totally get it. But I think people are only basing it off of that performance, not realizing who he fought. He fought Islam, who's a great fighter, regardless of, you know, my opinions on him and certain things he does. He is a great fighter, and he's one of the best guys. So he lost to one of the best guys. But you can't base him off that. You can't say he's washed because of that. You can't say, oh, his chin is suspect. Bro, he got caught. He went in on 10 days' notice, bro. He had to cut so much weight on such short notice, and then he got KO'd. That'll happen. You know, that happens. If he had full notice, that wouldn't have happened. I can almost guarantee it. And we would have gotten a better fight because of it. But what I think, if he had went right from the year fight to this fight, he would probably be like minus 300 favorite or more. If he had went right from year fight to this fight. And we wouldn't even be debating this at all. It wouldn't even be Topuria betters because people would have gone off, your last performance. And they would say, wow, he really worked Yair Rodriguez. He smashed him to pieces at the end, which he did. And you go off, let's reference the way he looked in that fight and then put that versus Topuria's last fight. That's the real comparison. Overall, I got Volkanovski winning. I think Volkanovski will KO, TKO. Taking him by TKO is definitely tempting. But I think I'm going to go unanimous decision. I think he is going to beat up Topuria. I think he's going to want to drag him into the deep waters, rounds 4 or 5, and then start to really take over the fight at that point. I think Topuria is going to be looking to headhunt, you know, rounds 1 and 2, and that's really going to be his biggest rounds right there. Topuria, I think, has only had 1 or 2 5-round fights. I think he's only had one. And Volkanovski does this every time he fights. He's in a title fight. So, it's I think Volkanovski's experience, he's going to remind a lot of people in there. There's going to be a lot of humbling going on. And, yeah, I think Volkanovski and Still for his 7th title defense. His 7th title defense.
Yeah, man. I think Volkanovski wins this fight, too. Like I said earlier, I am worried that he's coming off that first-round knockout to Islam back in October, but he has a full fight camp this time. He's a champion. One thing about Volkanovski that people don't give him credit for, he has excellent takedown defense. So I don't think Ilya is going to just be able to take him down and control him on the mat because Volkanovski has found ways to get back to his feet. And if you look at how great Islam is on the mat, he couldn't keep Volkanovski down. So I think Volkanovski being the better striker with the better defense, I got him winning this fight by unanimous decision. I think in the 4th or 5th rounds, UFC Championship Volkanovski step up to the plate, and you'll see Ilya Topuria start to fade down the stretch due to Volkanovski's skill, his striking, and his constant pressure. So, I got Volkanovski winning and Still via unanimous decision. We had a great show tonight. Talked a little bit of boxing. Talked Teofimo Lopez, Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia. We talked WWE, The Rock, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, WrestleMania, and then we jumped into UFC 298. We did the fight we're going to definitely have our own, and then we gave you our predictions. Any last words for the people, Keys?
Nah, nothing. Just keep going. Stay grinding on something. Put your mind to work. Just work on a passion, work on your craft, or find something that you love to do. You know, that's what I've been working on, is just trying to dive in more into the things that I love to do, make me feel good, and things that, you know, give back to me. So, and then the people that give back to me. So that's what I would just say. You know, do that and keep your head up. That's it.
Yeah. Do I have any last words? I always have last words. You know, everybody stay positive, take care of you, take care of yourself, take care of others. Keep a good spirit, keep positive energy. Positive energy yields positive vibes, which yields positive results. 2024, Lee and Keys doing it bigger and better and doing it realer on Real Talk. That being said, we sign off and we always leave you with a peace.